101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah. We got a little Hoke Mania for you tonight, kids.
Oh, baby.
By the way, I'm single. Just throwing it out there.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM. On them there radio dials y'all have out there. Very excited to be here. Another hour of pro wrestling news and entertainment. And let me get my man in here, James Samuel, my hero.
What's
going on, big man?
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Doing another fun show. Happy to have you with us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. Talk about some wrestling.
Yeah, well, we're both going Southern accents today. I feel like I'm gonna get the jambalaya out or something, you know. But I'll tell you, I feel terrible for you. I really do. Because I know you got stuck working last night, and you could not come to Booker T's reality of wrestling show at the MGM Grand yesterday. And I'm so sorry you couldn't make it. Before we get into everything else, what a show! Wow! You know, sometimes when you go to an independent show, you're not sure what you're going to be in for. It can kind of be hit or miss. But, man, Booker T's got some blue chippers there. And had a great time. Got to meet Booker T and Sharmell and the Boogeyman and Kenny King. That was a lot of fun. Kenny wrestled last night. Really enjoyable evening. And, man, I want to go back and watch some of the archives now of Reality Wrestling and check it out. Because I'll tell you what, they were impressive yesterday. And I think all the seats were full in the ballroom there at the MGM. It was a blast, man. I'm sorry you weren't there.
Yeah, I wanted to be there. I definitely wanted to meet Booker T for sure.
Yeah, and he's so gracious. And, you know, like I said, got time to talk to a bunch of different people there and their whole team. He has a great team of people there. And, boy, you could tell how excited they were last night to be here in Las Vegas and doing the show. And They did a fantastic job. And shout out to Jay Alexander, one of their wrestlers, who completely dissed Fish. Just dissed him right on camera. It's beautiful. I loved it. No comment?
Wait, I was like, just stumped. Like, why did he diss Fish?
So Fish sat on the aisle where the wrestlers were coming in. And, going to be honest, still getting to know a lot of the wrestlers that were on the card last night. And, not a good guy coming out. And Fish is all excited. You know, it's the first match, first guy. And Fish puts his hand out and just got totally blown off. The other hand went out and then pulled back. And, oh, my God, we were rolling. It was beautiful. So if you get to go back and once they get that up on YouTube, you can see Andrew Fishfane, our co-host, on Sunday, just getting totally left out to hang. It was beautiful. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, but I got to highly recommend it. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because, you know, we had Booker T on the show and so on. Because, you know, if I didn't think it was a good show, you know, I kind of wouldn't be too excited about it. But let me put it to this one. My daughter, who's hot and cold on wrestling sometimes, today, this afternoon, said, that was really cool. She's, you know, like 13. So getting that out of her must have said something. So I want to congratulate Booker T and everybody that was on the card last night. Did a great job. Absolutely great job. And I know Joe DeFalco was there last night, too. I know Joe's over at the Impact show, Turning Points, tonight. So Impact's got a big show this evening, and then they're going to be doing two more shows Sunday and Monday. So a big weekend of wrestling. And also want to take a second to hype up Joe's show with Future Stars of Wrestling coming up on next Saturday, which I know I'm for two. And give me 1 second here, and we'll get that pulled up. No Escape, 4 steel cage matches. You don't get that very often, James. 4 steel cage matches.
No, you don't. It's very rare.
I am not in one of them. I'm hoping that when I go, they don't put me in one of them. But of course, the main event is Hammerstone against Brian Cage of AEW. And, of course, Hammerstone is the Major League Wrestling world champion, along with Joe's champion as well in Future Stars of Wrestling. So that is going to be an awesome main event in a cage. So cage in a cage. Oh, I bet he's never heard that before. But that's going to be a terrific night. So go to fswvegas.com, get your tickets, and make sure you get to that show, because Joe doesn't put on bad shows. So it is going to be very exciting. And we'll probably get to talk to Joe about that a little bit more on the show tomorrow at 8 a.m. here on KDWN. A little Future Stars of Wrestling coming at you, too. But, well, guess what we get to talk about again? Any idea, James? Guess what we get to talk about?
Budget cuts from old Vinny.
Oh, more budget cuts. Budget cuts. 8 more wrestlers are in the unemployment line from WWE. And you know how, James, you remember how disgusted I was that they did that to B-Fab, who was part of Hit Row? They bring her up for a week and then got rid of her. Well, the rest of Hit Row is history. They cut the whole group. So a little house cleaning there with Hit Row. And also going down was, and this one, you know, I'm almost happy for the guy. John Morrison was taken off the roster as well, so he will be back out wrestling wherever. And of course, he came into WWE, back to WWE super hot, and ended up shooting a squirt gun at Karrion Kross. Unreal. Also going down was Tegan Nox, who they also just pulled up to the main roster from NXT a few weeks ago. Got a couple shots at to wrestle against the tag team champions, and they decided they did not need her services anymore. Also, Shane Thorne, who was stuck in Retribution, and then they tried to make him an Aussie fur coat wearing dude. Shane Thorne is gone. And also out of there is Drake Maverick, who gets his second firing from WWE within about a year's time. They had a big angle there where, you know, everybody wanted him to come back, and Triple H re-signed. He wins a match to re-sign his contract and come back to WWE, and ends up chasing around the 24/7 championship again, and he is gone as well. By the way, and go to his Twitter, because he put up a really cool video talking about the situation, and very well acted. So, you know, and it was funny. Even Disco Inferno said, you know, you need to get out of wrestling and just go act while you're still young, dude. just forget the wrestling stuff and be an actor. You're that good. So, James, I'm going to give you first shot at this, because this is probably going to take up the whole first half hour of the show. Your thoughts on these 8 cuts that just hit the fan?
Well, with Hit Row, you know, I guess a little information that really what sparked that was Top Dollar really going on to the upper brass about them releasing, you know, B-Fab. So that's what expedited their release. John Morrison, you kind of seen that writing on the wall. We're doing that much with him. Tegan Knox, same thing. They split up her and Shashi's team. So she was kind of on the chopping block as well. So really, the only one that will make you probably go like, oh, well, where that come from would be Hit Row, but we do know where that came from, their displeasure with their group member being released.
Yeah, and certainly that, you know, it's probably not the only reason, but once again, but I will say Top Dollar, who you may have known as AJ, who was on, if you saw the WWE Most Wanted Treasures series, they had him. He was the one that was going out and helping them find all these different souvenir items from different wrestlers and so on. So he was actually in that show. But apparently he did have some heat in NXT for being a little difficult. But, you know, at the same time, we heard, you know, Keith Lee was difficult. And every time somebody's getting released, that everybody's like, why did that happen? Well, they were being difficult. Okay. How long is that excuse going to go on? You know, if he did what they say he did, that he did, you know, call the main office up and voice his displeasure. You got to remember something, man. And this is the way it is for anybody when you're at your job. If you're gonna fire that shot, you better be darn sure that it's not going to come back at you. And in the world of WWE, especially right now, where they are just keep letting people go and letting people go, I understand you wanted to stick up for somebody, but at the same time, you got to keep your job. And, you know, that's got to be a big mistake. But what I'm really surprised about is, the Hit Row guys, you know, Isaiah Scott, former NXT North American champion, he was actually leading that stable when they were NXT. And then when they got pulled up, they decided, let's go to the big man. And, you know, it didn't work out. So, but I am surprised that they let Scott go. And, you know, and it's just got to be tough on those guys to have just got pulled up to the roster. And same thing for Tegan Knox, who was a big Triple H woman. He loved her to death. And, you know, she had a couple of knee injuries that knocked her out a few times. And Triple H just, you know, kept bringing her back and bringing her back. And she had great matches with Rhea Ripley. But she gets the call, and then she's history too immediately. You know, James, let me give you your opinion on what do you think that says to the rest of the roster, that you're willing to sign a contract like that, get some new people up there, and just instantly, bam, you pull the plug?
I think it shows that you know, like I was saying last week, you're either going to toe the line with what Vince and said, you know, conglomerate wants to happen, or you're not going to be there. And I think that is super apparent now.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to wonder if there's a larger picture to this, because if you go and look at the list of people that have been released from WWE in the last 2 years, it's a massive list of talent. Some you can understand, some you can't. Like, on this list, they weren't doing anything with Jackson Riker. They weren't doing anything with Shane Thorne. Quite expendable. Drake Maverick, you know, a popular character and someone that probably got misused, but at the same time, is he going to bring people into your shows? Probably not. I'm sure on the independent circuit he will, and he was fairly successful in Impact as Rockstar Spud. But when you get to this level of WWE, you know, you think of your superstars, you're thinking of somebody like Roman Reigns. No offense to Drake Maverick, but you're not thinking of him. Now, as a manager or something like that, you know, even though they kind of embarrassed him when they had him do that gig, there's a possibility he could have been a good mouthpiece for somebody. But, you know, it doesn't break their hearts to lose Drake Maverick. Then you look at John Morrison, such an incredible talent. And I really thought that after he'd won the Triple A championship, he'd won the Impact championship, he was on a roll and wrestling fantastic matches. And all of a sudden, he gets back, they put him with The Miz, and he's back to being a goofball again. And, you know, that to me is talent wasted. I would have loved to have seen Morrison get a good build and then have him go against somebody like Roman Reigns. That would have been, if you used him right, that would have been a fantastic match. So it's kind of heartbreaking for me to see that. But at the same time, now John gets to go back out and do what he was doing, and I'm sure he's going to be happy about that. What do you think about the release of John Morrison?
I think it's good for his career. I think he can get back to, you know, like you just said, you know, being a top star wrestler. I think he was, like, I agree with you. He had some great matches before he signed with WWE, and I think now that he's, you know, gone, from there, I think he can resume that.
Yeah, it may be the best thing for him. You know, could you imagine Morrison showed up in AEW? Oh my God, that would be something. Oh,
I think he's going to go be in Impact.
Yeah, you would think the first instinct would be to go back to Impact. And obviously, in terms of major organizations, not a lot of places to go at the moment. But Morrison is an incredible talent, and here's the worst part about it too is that he's married to Tara Valkyrie, who also was on the last releases that happened a week ago, and they had just moved down to Florida. They had just packed everything up and moved to Florida, and then she gets let go, and then he gets let go. So they tore their lives apart for Tara to go down and do her thing in NXT, and man, I mean, that's cold. That is cold. But what I do wonder about is, what's the deeper reason that this is happening at WWE? Of course, we all know they recorded record profits in the last quarter. They're making money hand over fist. So at this point, saying it's budget cuts doesn't ring true. I have my theory. James, what's your theory on what is happening at WWE that they are cutting all this talent?
I think I think Vince is trying to create a culture of he is top dog, and you're going to listen to him and what he says and what he wants. So that's really my opinion on why these cuts keep happening.
And certainly if you're Triple H, who a lot of the people that Triple H worked with at NXT and brought up, you just haven't met Vince's standards, whatever those are. And he's just cleaned house. And you wonder with Jackson Ryker, who was just somebody that just weren't using and, it created some controversy for himself on Twitter too. Why did he stick around? Well, I guess he was a big guy. But they're kind of finding out that maybe these guys, Vince is seeing that they're not as what he thought they were. But but one thing that I think is happening is I think they're really trying to streamline their talent. And, I don't know if they're going to keep the brand split up or not, but you keep seeing this main roster get smaller and smaller and smaller. And Vince has, laid down the edict. Hey, we don't want anybody that's small. We don't want anybody that's older. We want young talent to come in here, train them ourselves, so they're knocking out a lot of people that were out on the independent scene and then they had to kind of bring them in and mold them. They're looking to do, it seems to me, number one, they're trying to find more, make a roster of Roman Reigns's, Big E's, people that they took from the start that they have molded into a WWE superstar, as opposed to a guy like CM Punk, who was out on Ring of Honor for a long time and now he's in AEW saying, hey, I get to be a professional wrestler again. These people that they're bringing in.
WCW Bret Hart, you mean? Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. the people that they're trying to bring in, I think that they want to take them from the beginning. They don't want somebody who, unless it's a really big name, they don't want people coming in that have bad habits, things they consider bad habits, different styles. They're gonna cookie cutter everybody in there, and that's it. And the other thing that I'll throw out there is too, and I, as much as I'm not a huge Simon Miller or What Culture fan, this one I thought he hit. They are more selling the logo. This is WWE, and they're not necessarily selling the personalities, they're selling the company. They have a global brand, and so they want to be able to walk in the door to advertisers, TV companies, media outlets, and so on, and say, we are WWE. They don't want it to be, this is Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper. This is Roman Reigns. This is Brock Lesnar. No, this is WWE. We are a product. We are not the people that are our performers. And it's a real subtle shift. And I know everybody keeps talking about the sale, that, you know, Vince is setting up for a sale. Vince is setting up for a sale. But, you know, they're building the Hall of Fame. The thing about this, they're building the Hall of Fame. They're building a new headquarters. If you're selling the company, why would you do that? What's the point? And the point, so to me, the point is that they are trying to take things in more of a direction where they are selling a brand as opposed to the people that they have on the roster. Thoughts? Anything on that, James?
Yeah, yeah. I heard you said but, but you stopped.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, yeah, I don't think they're selling the company. I think that's just a front. I think that's just a front to make people speculate, oh, that's why they're selling. I think what they're going to do, I think they might be selling to a different, like a partner. And I think that's why they're trying to, like, make their payroll look, you know, appetizing to said new investor. But I don't think that's the, you know, reason for all that.
Yeah. I think there's more to it than just what, you know, that's almost too obvious an answer, but I just see them doing things that wouldn't indicate to me that, yeah, we're going to sell it and be done with it. Because if Vince was ready to, you know, cut away in a year or two, I don't think that they'd be doing some of the things they're doing. So just my opinion, but boy, I'll tell you, a lot of people not happy about these cuts, and I would expect more coming. Unfortunately, maybe hopefully they'll lay off the axe before the holidays. But this is going to be a story that over the next year or two is going to be very interesting to follow, especially with having some new competition. And, you know, the indie circuit is going to be heating up because a lot of these people need places to go, especially after, you know, the cuts and then Ring of Honor, at least for now, shutting their doors. Should be a fascinating time to see the future of WWE and the direction they're going to take. So, wow. But another rough week in WWE land for sure, James.
Yeah. You know, it kind of sucks to be a talent. You know, you're doing all you can do. You're doing the programs, doing the workouts, doing the gimmick. You might not even like that much. And then you just get let go. And now you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to go. So I think, you know, some of these guys, you know, they love to get released. They know they can go somewhere else and have these great matches and do like that. But some of these people are just, now they don't know if they can even have a job in wrestling anymore. So it's pretty sad.
Yeah, and one thing that you're seeing happening is, you know, when I saw the releases happen, I got on Twitter, and just the backlash against WWE. And to a point, it's not justified because it's their company, you know, and they can do what they want to do with it. And if they feel like they need to trim talent and go a different direction to stay competitive and expand on a global market, you know, that's their call. But at the same time, they are really starting to, it feels like they're creating a little bit of a backlash, and they're starting to develop a culture out there of us against them. Everybody wants, you know, like, oh man, we want to find a way to beat those guys. I don't know if it's going to happen, but are you getting a sense that you see that kind of a backlash against WWE, that people are just like, man, we got to knock these guys out of here?
Definitely. I definitely think that. I think WWE, the backlash that they're creating for themselves with this budget situation is exactly that. And I think it's more also, too, is they're hiding behind the whole budget word. And
yeah, it's time to drop that. It's time to drop it. Somebody's got to make a little better explanation than budget cuts on that. But, yeah.
It's the easy route. It's the easy route to say, oh, you know, it's the easy route to not have the controversial backlash. Is that, it was, you know, budget cuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we are going to talk more about this and a whole lot more because Survivor Series is coming up this weekend. The question is, do you care? Really? We'll find out. James and I will break that down, and we'll talk about the card coming up tomorrow night from the Barclays Center. So stick around here on the Mark Hoke Show, everybody, on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM. Thanks for joining us. Best in pro wrestling, and we will be right back.
101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Hey, this time I'm going to turn the right mic on over the come out of the break. Just for fun. I'm producing my own show while I'm in here. So I got to do double duty. But thank God James Samuel's with me. Praise the Lord.
Got your back. Got your back, boss.
And I appreciate that. And because you're a big man. You can hurt people.
But, you know, I wouldn't.
So you don't have my back.
Well, I put him to a table, you know, Deli Boy style, but, you know, we don't want to promote violence.
Violence can be fun. Anyway, it's all good. But thanks for joining us here on the Mark Hoke Show, the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. We are very happy to, as we continue this little extra Saturday show until they tell us to stop. They must really like us because they haven't filled the spot. We kind of did this on a substitute mode because of another show being taken off the network. And, well, here we are. So, of course, we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be me and Fish Fane and Joe DeFalco at 8 a.m. We'll get to talk about our experience at Reality of Wrestling and more about all these cuts and Survivor Series and all sorts of fun stuff. But James and I are going to hash this one out right now. James, we got the last WWE pay-per-view of the year. There's none in December. The next one will be on January 1st, and then that'll lead into the Royal Rumble. Wait, can you believe it's Royal Rumble time almost already? Good Lord, where'd the time go, brother?
Man.
I know. It's just been a hectic time in professional wrestling, that's for sure. But, well, let's talk a little bit about Survivor Series. So here's what we've got. And, of course, if you haven't watched Survivor Series before, they have the whole thing started off with these 5-on-5 tag matches where someone would put two guys that were fighting would put together teams, and they would do multiple five-on-five tag team matches at Survivor Series, and then throw in, you know, some other matches to go along with it. They are doing two of the 5-on-5 matches, and the first thing I'm going to say about this is you announce the teams on social media about 2.5 weeks ago, and the teams have rapidly degenerated and changed since that point. We'll tell you the teams and then talk about that situation. The first, for the men's side of Team Raw, is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory replaced the Mysterios. So we had a couple of changes there. And then Team SmackDown, Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, who replaced Sami Zayn, King Woods is on that team, our good friend Happy Corbin, and Sheamus is now on the team after winning a four-way to take another spot. So we have that match. Then on the women's side for Team Raw, we're going to have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina taking on Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm, who replaced Aaliyah, someone who just came up on the roster, had to be excited, but she was apparently friends with the wrong person, Naomi, and now the evil Sonya Deville pulled her out and put Toni Storm in the match.
I think that might be foreshadowing to a storyline twist. I think it might be something to all three Mysterios getting pulled off their respective teams. So I think that might be, maybe they'll turn heel, and go against the WWE, talking about you just took in all our opportunities and whatnot.
Well, they're also talking about, there were a couple stories that said that they're soon going to be starting the Dominic versus Rey father-son feud. So, and this was them getting, with Dominic getting beat by Bobby Lashley really badly and getting taken off the team, and was kind of supposed to be the start of it. I'm kind of trying to figure out where your storylines are going to come out of this. I think that's really the only reason to care about these matches, because there's nothing on the line. Brand dominance, as they like to say, doesn't mean a thing to a fan at this point.
So it'll be interesting to see what they come out with on those. But those are your 5-on-5 matches. Damian Priest, the United, and then the rest of these are champion versus champion matches. Damian Priest, the U.S. champion, will be taking on Shinsuke Nakamura, the Intercontinental champion. We've got RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Riddle taking on the Usos, Jimmy and Jay. They are tag team champions of their respective shows. And by the way, Randy Orton will be breaking the record for most pay-per-views by any WWE superstar when he makes his appearance on Survivor Series tomorrow, which is amazing. I think it's like 175 pay-per-views or something ridiculous like that. And he will also be breaking the record for most appearances on Monday Night Raw on Monday as well. So congratulations to Randy Orton. That's an amazing accomplishment, to say the least, especially in this climate. We will also have Big E, the WWE champion, taking on Roman Reigns, of course, with Paul Heyman in the corner. And then we will have the women's matchup between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, those two not happy with each other. James, which match or matches on there are you most intrigued by, if any?
It definitely has to be Roman Reigns versus Big E. I think they've done a good job with the storytelling, especially with last week with Big E, you know, trash-talking Uso, telling him to tell your daddy Roman. This is a statement to him, you know. So I think they're doing a little one-upsmanship with each other, trying to send messages going into a pay-per-view. And plus, those are two talented in-ring performers, so I think that'll be a great match. I think the drama behind, you know, the women's match is intriguing. So I think, you know, people will be amped to see that because they know they have genuine distaste towards each other. But I think the best in-ring product of the night is going to be Roman Reigns versus Big E.
And, of course, if you don't know what we're talking about with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, they had a little dust-up after their title belt exchange a few weeks ago where they were champions on brands that they were switching away from. So they exchanged belts, and it ended up in a big fiasco backstage. And Becky especially has been out I won't say totally laying into Charlotte, but definitely throwing some shade, I think, would be a reasonable assessment of the situation. So there is some intrigue there. Rumors are coming out that they have not decided on how this match is going to go just because of everything that's been going on. They don't know which way they want to take this. So I think that is going to be, to me, easily the most intriguing match of the night. To me, the rest of it is kind of, to be very frank, a lot of these matches, because they're champion versus champion matches, and no one's going to lose their titles, it's not unifications or anything like that, it's kind of like, okay, have fun. I hope you have a good match. But, you know, the one thing that I think happened, especially last year when Reigns beat Drew McIntyre, was I think it really diminished Drew McIntyre and it started him on kind of a downward trend. You know, hopefully, you know, that's one thing I'm hoping, that he'll have a good showing in the 5-on-5 matches and, you know, kind of get him back on track so he can challenge Roman Reigns. But, you know, otherwise, there's just not a lot here that's exciting. Oh, and I got to mention, I forgot. Yesterday they added a 25-man battle royal. So 25 guys will be trying to throw each other over the top rope. And AJ Styles, Mr. Main Event, one of the best wrestlers out there.
Where's he been?
Well, he had a couple weeks off, and he's back teaming with Omos, and now he's, instead of being on a Survivor Series team, which is where he should be, he is in a 25-man battle royal, and there's no surprises. They've announced everybody, so no surprises of who's in it. I will say the one possible intrigue could be, what if it's AJ and Omos at the end? Yeah? What do you think?
But I like that, but at the same time, I think that maybe they have a little better, you know, payoff to that story than that.
Well, do you trust the WWE writing team to come up with a better payoff story than that?
Not really.
No. Yeah, and this is, you know, it's a lot of mid-card guys on in this battle royal. AJ is clearly the top attraction in that. But like I said, that would be probably the most interesting way to go. But we'll see what comes out of this. You'd love to see somebody like Cesaro maybe win it, but I don't know. It's a throw together. It's something that they didn't even announce on any of the shows, and we're doing a battle royal. Okay, great. That's nice. And that's kind of the way this whole buildup for this Survivor Series has been. It has just been, real quick between, the New Day and the Bloodline. So setting up the Reigns match with Big E. Obviously the Becky Charlotte stuff that happened with the belt exchange, which honestly WWE fell into. They didn't even try to do that. That wasn't the plan. And then after that, there's just no, there's just no oomph to this for me. You can kind of tell how I'm talking about it. I'm just kind of like, I'm not running home to watch this. Are you?
Not really. Old GOAT Roman, but other than that, other than the greatness of Roman, what else is there?
Now, the one possible intrigue that you may want to tune in for, and I'll throw this one out, and of course this has been rumored for a while, that The Rock is going to show up at Survivor Series and have a dust-up with Roman Reigns. That has been rumored for quite a few weeks now. And the reason that I think that it could actually happen now, Roman Reigns was on the Tonight Show this week. And he had about an 8-minute appearance, you can see it on YouTube, where Jimmy Fallon's talking to him about his family and all, his childhood and all that kind of stuff, and then he brings up The Rock. Now, it seems like Jimmy does follow wrestling enough, but it was kind of a throw it out there question, like I said, it may have been a good lead in talking about Roman Reigns and him growing up and a little bit about his family, and then all of a sudden, The Rock's family. And so you almost wonder if The Rock's going to show. Of course, this is the 25th anniversary of The Rock's debut, which he debuted at Survivor Series in 1996. So here's the question. Well, there's two questions out of this. First, James, do you think The Rock is going to show up at Survivor Series?
No.
Wow. Not a chance, huh?
No, because I don't think that's the direction they're gonna go this year. I think that's all that's next year stuff. I think you're probably gonna this is my thing with that. I think what you're gonna get is you're gonna get Roman Reigns beating whoever he beats at WrestleMania. He has a whole big, Keith moment, and then you hear The Rock's music. And then I think from that WrestleMania on to the next WrestleMania, they're going to build that.
You think they're going to do another once-in-a-lifetime thing like they did with John Cena? And if you didn't know, a while back, they set up John Cena against The Rock for a year while the title was changing hands there. That's an interesting thought. I could see that as a possibility. No question about it. I have a feeling he's going to show up. At least be there. I don't know if he's going to get involved, but if he does, let's flip the script a little bit, and let's say The Rock does show up at Survivor Series and there's a showdown. So obviously we're going Rock and we'd be going Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. Couldn't imagine they're going to do anything else. Do you think if that was the decision that they made, is that a good one long-term? Short-term, long-term? Is it a bad one? How would you feel if that took place at Survivor Series?
Could you say that one more time?
Yeah, do you think short-term, long-term, it's going to be it would be a good thing or a bad thing, Roman Reigns and The Rock?
I think long term it'd be good. I think, you know, I think that's the best way to really solidify Roman Reigns, have him beat The Rock. It's not saying he needs to beat, but I think if you're going to put Roman Reigns in the pantheon of the greatest of all time, which I believe is what they're trying to do, I think he needs that Rock win. What do you think?
Wow. Now, that's an interesting thought. I guess when I look at this, I'm thinking of the long-term booking of how they're going to set things up. But, you know, booking is when they take the matches and, you know, figure out who's going to win and, you know, and take things down the road and make their plans. This, even though WWE's been pretty bad lately about long-term booking, I just don't think that, let's say they take it to WrestleMania and The Rock wins and it's for the championship. We'll say it is first. So then The Rock's the champion, but he's an actor. He's not a wrestler anymore. He is an actor. He's gonna go act. He's gonna be part time. He's not gonna, you know, be doing house shows, you know, in Poughkeepsie or anything like that. He's gonna show up a few times a year, and Lord knows where they're gonna decide to tie it up. Will they do it maybe, you know, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam? You know, we have Money in the Bank that's gonna be here in July, so you got to fill the stadium. That could be an intriguing possibility to have a rematch of Roman Reigns and The Rock at Money in the Bank. I actually just thought of that. May not be a bad idea. But, you know, I don't think you want to keep the belt on The Rock long term, per se. You know, and I don't know. I'm just not real big on The Rock winning the championship. Unless it's something short. And then you think about it, well, you kind of really have to set a trilogy up with that if you did. So, I don't know. There's some complications that I think you could be hurting Roman Reigns by doing that. I think I'd still rather see him against Brock Lesnar. Now, if they do a triple threat at WrestleMania, that would be fun. I'm down.
I don't see The Rock beat him, though. I don't see him doing that.
Well, and that's part of the thing too. You know, is The Rock willing to come back and take the loss? Maybe he is. I don't know, but there's good points and bad points to The Rock showing up at, you know, at this Survivor Series if they do it. So I don't know, but I'll tell you, people are really waiting to see Lesnar and Lesnar and Roman Reigns go at it again. So this is, and it's funny, do you realize that what we're saying right now is complete speculation of what could maybe possibly happen at Survivor Series as opposed to talking about what's going to be actually going on? That's a problem, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, when you're already talking about the extras WrestleMania, then when you got, like, one of the used-to-be marquee, you know, pay-per-views coming up, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about next year's WrestleMania.
They've absolutely destroyed Survivor Series. It is, you know, this used to be the Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, it used to be one of my favorite ones. One of my favorite pay-per-views.
It was, and it was so much fun, you know, seeing all the different teams, the different possible matchups that could take place. You know, and with a brand split, I suppose there's, if it wouldn't be that everybody has shifted around so much, then it would be a little more intriguing. But for right now, I don't know. And now they didn't include NXT like they did last time around. So, But, you know, hey, just for fun, what do you say we pick these matches? Want to go for it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So, the 25-man battle royal. And James, I don't know if you have the list in front of you or if you really care.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'll run it off for you real, real fast. We've got AJ Styles, Angelo Dawkins, Apollo Crews, Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, Chad Gable, Commander Aziz, Dolph Ziggler, Drew Gulak, Eric from the Viking Raiders, Umberto Ivar from the Viking Raiders, Jinder Mahal, Mansoor, if this was in Saudi Arabia, he's the winner, Montez Ford, Omos, Otis, R-Truth, Ricochet, Robert Roode, Sami Zayn, Shanky, Shelton Benjamin, and T-Bar. What do you think? Got a couple favorites in that?
I would say Cesaro and Montez Ford.
Wow, no almost.
So
no?
Well,
I mean, I'm not criticizing picks, because actually, Montez Ford is an intriguing one to pick from the Street Profits.
Osmos is like, the obvious, pick, because he's,
I actually like that pick. I mean, I'm so focused on AJ Styles and Omos, but, they're talking about giving him a singles run. So I could see Montez Ford winning this. I'm curious. I have to look up the betting odds, see what they are tomorrow, and see who they think BetOnline is going to win. But, that's a solid pick. You may have turned me on this.
What do they get for winning this again?
Pat on the back.
Oh, they don't get any, they don't get anything?
No. They just announced it a day and a half ago. It's just more brand supremacy, I guess. But yeah, that's not a bad choice, even though I would love to see AJ Styles win. Just to be contrarian, I'll take AJ Styles at least today. But I'll think about it tonight. I may change my pick tomorrow. But I like that. Like it a lot. Damian Priest taking on Shinsuke Nakamura in the U.S. champ versus IC champ. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Nakamura so they can have him and McAfee dance and stuff. So I'm gonna go with Shinsuke.
I think I'm going to go against you on this, and I'm gonna take Damian Priest. They have done nothing with this reign of Shinsuke Nakamura for the IC title. It would be another win for the rising superstar Damian Priest. But boy, I'll say this. How far has Shinsuke Nakamura fallen? Ugh. God, the guy should have been a world champion. It's sad. So I will take Damian Priest. We got RK-Bro, Randy Orton and Riddle, taking on the Usos. What do you think?
I'm going with the Usos.
Yeah, I think the Usos got to take this, too. I think Riddle's taking a fall, a hard fall. Poor Randy. He's going to break that record and not win. But I'll tell you, boy, it would be nice to see a nice RKO out of nowhere. That would be a lot of fun. But, yeah, I'm gonna go with you and take the Usos on this one. We'll do the 5-on-5 matches. The men's Raw match, we already went through who was in that against SmackDown. Who wins that one?
I'm gonna go with Team Raw because they need some energy about their show.
I'm gonna go against you again, and I'm gonna pick who's gonna survive. Drew McIntyre and King Woods will survive the match, so I will take Team SmackDown in that one. Team Raw and Team SmackDown in the women's match. What do you think?
I'm going with Team Raw. Don't really like SmackDown's women division too much, so we'll go with Raw.
Do not let Sasha Banks and Shayna Baszler tell you that or hear you that. You're going to get twisted like a pretzel, brother. I mean,
this is the thing. You would forget those two are even on the show, but they rarely have them on TV.
I hate to do this, but I am going to take Team Raw, and I'm going to tell you who I think is going to pull this one out. I think Liv Morgan will survive this match. I don't know who else, but I think with the push they're giving Liv, I think Team Raw will win this because of Liv Morgan surviving.
I think you're spot on with that.
Okay. You're allowed to change your pick if you want.
No.
Let's just go against each other. It'll be fun. I'll go to the men's championship match between Big E and Roman Reigns. I think I already know who you're picking.
Yeah. Goat Reigns.
I will take Roman Reigns as well in this one. I don't think there's any way the only way he can lose it, maybe if The Rock bottoms him. And then we have Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. And this one is up for grabs. I don't know what's going to happen in this match. I'm hoping they're able to stay professional. But which one you got taking this one down?
On which match?
Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair.
I'm gonna go with Charlotte Flair. I think, you know, she was getting bashed in the media so bad and everything like that. I think she needs a win for her momentum. What do you think?
I'm taking the man. I'm going with Becky.
Oh, come on.
We disagreed on every match. This is gonna be fun for us next Saturday. That's for sure. Oh, that's
fun. Yeah. When I steamroll you on the picks, yeah, exactly.
Well, there's definitely a steamrolling coming. This would be like a 5-0 Survivor Series victory for one of us. So we'll see what happens. So check out Survivor Series on Peacock tomorrow, and that is going to wrap it up for us. James Samuel, thank you very much for sitting in. I do appreciate it.
No problem, man. Hopefully, I don't get budget cut and I can be on next week's show, too.
There you go. I will not future endeavor you, at least yet. Anyway. Hey, follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show.
Mark Leonidas, I guess.
Yeah. Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. Website is markhokeshow.com. All those podcasts, including our interview we had with Booker T last week, coming up. Check that out at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite outlets. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow with Fish and Joe. Have a great night, and stick around for Harvey Hyde and the Trojan Football Report here on KDWN, the Talk of Las Vegas.